So right now it's time for the mini set, and this is normally for singers a three-song set, and what we've just done is given this next performer 15 minutes to do whatever he's going to do. Steve Salmon is a writer of children's books, and he also does beautiful illustrations, and I met him through Chris Gerstner, and I know you're going to enjoy what he does. I don't know if he's going to display some illustrations or what's going to happen, but we'll find out. Please give a big welcome to Steve Salmon.
And I should stand about, am I close enough?
Well, do it. It's just that you can speak out over the top, but don't be shy.
Okay. Or you can tell me if I need to be closer. Okay. Oh, okay. I'll talk. Why don't I read? I'm just going to read a little introduction to the story to set it up. This story is about two people who happen to be Mr. and Mrs. Claus. We see them just being themselves, doing what they like, when they like, following the whims to their whimsical conclusions. They are a nice couple who are much more together than they could be apart. Other than their busy season, things move at a leisurely pace. But those with more curious eyes will see something wonderful. Two people who, having found each other, have kept their lives happy and fulfilling by encouraging one another to be who they really are. In this case, Santa and Mrs. Claus. Santa returned to the house very late at night after delivering the toys to all the good girls and boys. He was cold and tired and couldn't wait to eat some of the soup that Mrs. Claus always left warming for him. He kicked off his boots, threw a log on the fire, filled his cup, and snuggled into the love seat. Now he was ready to relax. After a few sips, he thought he would lie down for just a moment before making his way up to bed. The next thing he remembered was his shoulder being jiggled and Mrs. Claus's voice softly saying, "Wake up, it's Christmas." Mrs. Claus and Santa went upstairs to finish their night's sleep. Christmas Eve was always a late night for both of them, and they needed the extra rest. When morning came, they awoke earlier than usual. Santa stood, put his arms over his head, and said, "I'd stretch a mile if I didn't have to walk back." Mrs. Claus smiled and exhaled a soft, amused sound. The two of them enjoyed so many of the little things about each other that made them who they were. They loved sharing the special moments and the warm feelings that came from the smallest of things. Now they were ready to start the day, and the day was Christmas. Santa ached a little all over, so he took a nice hot bath to soak his tired muscles. Afterwards, he joined Mrs. Claus for breakfast, which was the first real chance they had to talk since he returned from delivering presents. It marked the beginning of another year for them, and now they could resume their lives together till the next Christmas Eve, when once again they would part for one very long and very busy night. Santa and Mrs. Claus did things at a slower pace this time of the year. Books were read, games were played, walks were taken, and conversations sometimes went on for hours. They laughed, they sang, they danced. When the sun set, they liked to sit by the fire and have something hot to drink while they relaxed. Santa liked to stare into the glowing embers and let his imagination wander and think his thoughts. Mrs. Claus liked to be by his side, humming her song and knitting the knots that created the beautiful things she made and filled with so much love. By the time spring came, everything seemed so nice with the flowers blooming, the leaves on the trees unfurling, and chirping birds announcing the new day. Excuse me. But some of the chirping was coming from an unusual place. During the winter, the next busiest place after Santa's workshop and Mrs. Claus's sewing room was their mailbox. The closer it got to Christmas, the faster the mail came in until he needed his wheelbarrow to bring it all in. But in the warm weather, the mailbox was little more than a decoration. When the mailman came by, he usually had nothing more than hellos to deliver. Nature didn't like anything going to waste, though, so birds often made their nests in the unused space. To get the mailbox back, Santa built a nice birdhouse just for them. But they were quite happy with the spot they had chosen. Santa said, "That's what happens when someone thinks they know better than Mother Nature." Back in the time when Santa was young, children had very few toys and not a lot of time to play because most of them were learning to do what their parents did. When children outgrew their toys, they passed them down to the younger ones. But there always seemed to be more kids waiting than donating, and a lot of toys fell apart before they were passed very far. Santa saw all of this and decided that he was the guy who could make things better. He knew that toys gave children chances to play and share and use their imaginations. They were the tools of childhood. All in all, they helped kids be kids. So Santa decided he'd dedicate his life to helping kids be kids. Santa and Mrs. Claus liked to take their dog Blizzard for a walk every day. Snowball the cat had an open invitation to join them, but he never seemed to have the time. The walks were a chance for them to do nothing while doing something and talk about anything that popped into their heads. Blizzard looked forward to these walks. Not only was he getting his exercise, he was also getting extra attention. Mrs. Claus said at the start he was like his name, a blizzard, but by the end he was reduced to a mere dusting. When they all got back to the house, Blizzard had a drink, a snack, and then headed straight for his favorite spot by the fireplace where he could dream his doggy dreams with Santa and Mrs. Claus nearby. These three never took a walk they didn't enjoy. Over the years, Santa had befriended all of the wildlife in the forest. Some of them were the great-grandchildren of animals who had first known and loved Santa. Others weren't quite sure just how many great-greats came before them. Out of their nests, burrows, dens, and caves, they came to visit and walk alongside him for a while. By the time he reached the edge of the forest, he was surrounded by a menagerie of animals preparing to say goodbye to their old and beloved friend. As he stepped out into the open field, his admirers hoped that he would come back soon to take another walk and spend time once again with his friends in the forest. On cold winter evenings, after dinner, Santa and Mrs. Claus liked to sit by the fire. This was where they opened the letters to Santa. There were happy letters and sad ones. There were letters that touched their hearts and some that included drawings of family members and pets. A few had drawings of toys they were hoping for. Santa and Mrs. Claus loved all of the letters and saw each one as a chance to reach out to a child and touch his or her heart with a simple act of kindness. Though they had a hard time keeping up with the mail, they always felt happy when more arrived. Santa liked to go fishing, and so did his cold weather friends. As he pulled a fish from the hole, it went directly to the next hungry animal in line. Luckily, they were biting, so no one had to wait very long. Rudolph couldn't understand what the big deal was about those smelly things, but he enjoyed watching the others making such a fuss. After his friends had stuffed themselves, they got sleepy and started their way back to their homes. Santa was ready to go, too. So he hitched Rudolph up with the other reindeer and pointed the sleigh due south. And with a snap of the whip, they were headed straight for home sweet home. Santa often carved an idea in ice before attempting it in wood. He did one of Rudolph that he really liked, but by the time he finished, hours had gone by and he was half frozen. He said, "For a reindeer, Rudolph has a very noble face, and it's well worth getting it right." And finally he had. Now Santa needed an idea of how to use a likeness of good old Rudolph. Then it popped into his head, a rocking horse, or better yet, a rocking reindeer. But there was a lot of work to be done before this idea was rocking anyone. So far, his Rudolph was still just ice, and the only nose that was red was Santa's. When Santa built toys, he used wood and metal to give them their shape. He used nail screws and rivets to hold them together, and cloth and leather and paint to give them their finished appearance. But other things went into them too, things that didn't show on the surface. Santa believed that when a person made something with love, a part of their spirit stayed within it and could be seen and felt by those who came near. But even after all of that, he didn't consider them to be finished. When the sawing and hammering were done and the paint was dry, there was still one more thing that was needed: a child to love it. And then and only then was it complete and ready to begin its life as a toy. Every year, as Christmas approached, Mrs. Claus would have Santa try on his red suit to see how it was fitting, and as usual, it wasn't. She gave him a look that he had seen many times before. She had hoped that he was able to keep his weight where it should be. But he was always working so hard on one thing while dreaming about the next that he didn't pay enough attention to it. Every year she asked him to try, and every year he said he would, but every year she had to make special meals for him to help get him back in shape fast. The very next meal she cooked for him was all his favorites and plenty of them. For dessert, she made a triple-layered chocolate cake with red and green frosting to make it look like Christmas. Mrs. Claus would have done anything to help Santa keep the tradition going, and part of that was not letting him get so thin that he no longer looked like Santa. Santa and Mrs. Claus both worked long, hard, preparing for the night before Christmas. But the night before Christmas Eve was always reserved for just the two of them. Santa got the fire built and roaring while Mrs. Claus prepared the meal. As she was bringing out the food, he was lighting the candles. They said grace and then toasted to the spirit of giving. They ate some, talked some, and ate some more. Dessert was rich, delicious, and gone before they knew it. They cleared the table and had hot tea in front of the fireplace where they talked about Christmases past, present, and future. It filled them with such good feelings that they decided it was the perfect time to go to bed and dream sweet dreams. On Christmas Eve, Santa packed the toys, fed his reindeer, checked their hooves, and double-checked his compass to make sure he could navigate through the cold winter's night. Last but not least, he checked, as he always did, to see that he had his picture of Mrs. Claus in his shirt pocket next to his heart. Right when Santa felt certain that he was ready to take off, Mrs. Claus stopped him and said, "Are you sure you won't need this?" It was his list of all the good children whose homes he would be visiting. He smiled and said, "Baby, you're the greatest." And she really was. Love Jackie Gleason. Sure that he hadn't forgotten anything else, and that Mrs. Claus would have remembered anything he didn't, Santa climbed up into the sleigh to begin his trip. He turned to look at her and saw that she had a sad and distant look on her face. She managed to smile and asked him to be careful and to wake her when he returned. They touched hands, looked into each other's eyes, and then kissed goodbye. Santa gave her a wink as he snapped the whip and the reindeer took off. He was gone in a flash down the lane, flying down the lane, beginning another of his great adventures, bringing happiness to good girls and boys from all over the world. He felt good to be on his way, knowing that before long he would be dropping off presents for dreaming children. The reindeer hit their stride and were making great time. If things kept going this well, he might be home earlier than expected, and he could surprise Mrs. Claus, which always made her happy. But suddenly he was aware of something breathing close behind him. When he turned, he found himself looking straight into the eyes of a giant polar bear. Santa's heart began to pound. His fingers and toes tingled as a chill ran up his spine. I just wanted to make sure. He had seen polar bears pretty close before, but never as close as they were right now. Santa thought that they probably didn't mean him any harm, but he didn't want to push his luck. After all, bears will be bears. So he turned and nodded hello to the giant animal. Then he snapped that whip, and within seconds, the beast was so far behind that it looked no more threatening than one of Santa's homemade teddy bears. It was at times like this that Santa thought longingly of being back home, sitting by the fire with Mrs. Claus, enjoying the warmth and the love, and having fun trying to make her laugh when she least expected it. Mrs. Claus worried about Santa and was always relieved when he had made it back home in one piece. But every once in a while, Santa found himself in unfamiliar places, not knowing which way to go. He would try as hard as he could to be careful, but he knew very well that it only took one wrong step to end up flat on his back. And that's exactly what happened. He found himself looking up at the sky while catching his breath and wondering if he and the toys were going to be all right. Every few years, a blizzard would hit on Christmas Eve, jeopardizing Santa's trip. When this happened, children everywhere hoped and prayed that he could still make it to their homes. They couldn't bear the thought of him having to turn back because of too much snow. They worried that their wish for a white Christmas might have backfired. But the children knew Santa was not only a great toy maker, but he was a brave adventurer, too. With these thoughts in mind, they could relax and float off to dreamland, thinking about Christmas Day with their families. The trip was long, lonely, and exhausting, but he never once considered cutting it short, leaving some children without their presents from Santa. He knew it wasn't the present itself that was so important, but the feeling of love and goodwill that came with it that was. He believed that every child touched by kindness would carry it with them throughout their lives, so he couldn't bear the thought of losing a chance to keep such a wonderful thing going and growing. At the end of his latest, greatest adventure, Santa came into the warmth of the house, dropped his empty bag, took off his coat and boots, and threw another log on the fire. He filled a bowl with the soup Mrs. Claus left simmering for him, got under a blanket, and began to feel the heat enter his bones. As he sat and sipped, he started to feel hypnotized by the flickering light and the pops and hisses of the fire. He tried to keep his eyes open, but the Sandman was already busy doing what he does best. In moments, Santa was fast asleep, beginning to get the rest he needed. His only thoughts were of all the children opening their presents on Christmas Day. With these visions dancing in his head, he drifted off deeper and deeper. The next thing he heard was, "Wake up, it's Christmas." Thank you.
Salmon. That was just wonderful.